Caleb Ward is here to talk about The Last Word by Quentin Crisp, which is the third and final installment of Quentin's series of autobiographies, and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Philip.
Hi, good afternoon.
Tell us about The Last Word.
The Last Word is actually Quentin's final book, and it represents the conclusion of Quentin Crisp's life. And The Last Word is different from his other autobiographies, Make a Civil Servant and How to Become a Virgin. And it's the book's conception and its message is quite different. And in his lifetime, Quentin published 14 books. The Last Word is his final contribution to that list. And it's the only book he wanted to write. All the other books were requested of him. And the theme of The Last Word and what sets it apart from anything else Quentin Crisp has produced in a book form or explored in public is what it means to see closure in life. The book is Quentin's valedictory. And it is his deepest attempt to tell us what the lessons of his nearly 91 years on the planet have been. And as usual, he approaches the topics of his life, which include old age, sickness, and his nearness to death, with unflinching honesty and openness. And in The Last Word, we get what Quentin almost never permitted himself to share about his life in any other public forum. We get his heart, his untrammeled feelings about what the gift of his life has meant to him. And it's a view of Quentin Crisp not shared with the public in his lifetime. It's probably the most personal and the most unusual book Quentin ever wrote. And this is what makes The Last Word an immeasurable gift to all of us, to the rest of us.
How did you become involved with Quentin?
I met Quentin, the live and in-person Quentin Crisp, in February 1986 as my secretary who introduced us. And from that day forward, we were friends until his passing in November 1999. And over time, our friendship evolved to where I pretty much became Quentin's assistant and attended to many of his needs. And in the early 1990s, Quentin lost the capacity to use his left hand because of some illness, and this prevented him from using his trusty companion, his typewriter. And luckily, my useless hand, as he would say, was not his dominant right hand. So Quentin was able to continue to scratch out his work and provide compositions for people who were asking for articles and reviews. But he needed assistance in providing hard copies. So along with my computer, or the demon machine as he called it, and with Quentin's clear dictation, I was able to transcribe his voice as quickly as he spoke the words. And so I became his left-hand man, typing and reading manuscripts. So by sometime in 1997, Quentin approached me with a request to help him write his final book. And this was a bit odd for me, and I guess for everybody else, simply because up until that point, Quentin had confessed to only writing books that were requested of him. And this one would be different. This would be the first and only book he wanted to write, and it would be his last. And in it, he wanted to voice all that he had left to say. So for the next 2 years, Quentin and I recorded our conversations, which created the content of what would become The Last Word. And we finished those sessions in July 1999, and about 4 months later, Quentin passed.
What would you like to accomplish with this book?
First of all, I would like to accomplish with the publication of The Last Word is to honor the responsibility Quentin placed upon me, and that was to offer the public his final book. And I made a promise to him, and I feel pleased to offer that book at this period in time, mostly because I want to demonstrate that Quentin Crisp remains relevant today, especially in our modern time. His message is universal, it's timeless, and granted, his way of living was not the easiest approach, nor is it the ideal avenue in which one would want to live, but the way Quentin Crisp lived, his life, and what his life offered, provided the wisdom by which to live our own lives. We don't have to live in poverty and squalor, but we do have to possess the courage to stand tall at being our individual selves. And in doing so, it provides us an independence of being, the strength to carry on and achieve a productive and successful life, something which Quentin did. And in my perception, Quentin is and was a Buddha. He challenged the mind into action. And his writing, the videos of him being interviewed, although they may often sound a bit flippant or self-serving, they have an underlying message of encouragement and hope, a message of happiness and love unconditionally, and a message of accepting oneself no matter what nature has provided you. So be yourself no matter the cost, because it's the only then that you will have lived. So Quentin's relevance is endless, actually. Quentin was one of a kind. He was a philosopher, an observer of life, a survivor, and a beacon of hope for many. In his life, his primary mission was his immediate happiness and of those around him. He leaves behind a legacy of great importance to the world, LGBT community, and the straight community, of which the last word is his swan song.
What is your personal commitment to LGBTQ civil rights?
I'm fully committed to our civil rights and have a tremendous sense of duty and moral obligation to make life better for current and future generations, because I know too well the hurt and suffering from living during the time when there were no civil rights for us whatsoever. And this is why I've dedicated my life to supporting Quentin Crisp's message and being true to yourself. And with such, I've created Crisp Peranto, the Quentin Crisp Archives, and for the past 18 years since his passing. And all this through the Bush administration, the Obama administration, now we have the hateful Trump era. Quentin's powerful philosophy enabled him to survive these dark ages, the dark ages of civil rights, and it will fortify us, the future, the present, until we can see the rainbow full rights enabled.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration?
The challenges we face in this administration will require us to rise to a level of dynamic activism that's not been seen since ACT UP's pinnacle. We had a virus threatening us with extinction during the AIDS crisis. This administration is just as dangerous, but in a different way. Our response must be proactive, organized, and unified. We must resist every possibility, every opportunity. We are already witnessing the erosion of our rights. It's certain that the political attacks and hate crimes against us will continue to increase. I'm concerned that after a year now, we're not more organized and focused. There are some in our community who still don't know how to do other than donate money. Although that's a good step in the right direction, it will require more than that to defend and maintain our hard-fought progress. It will require personal involvement, sacrifice, courage, and a boot-to-the-ground approach in dealing with an enemy that some in our country, some in our community, have underestimated and have become complacent about. We have to remain vigilant. We must run for office and support those of us who do. I caution against resting on our laurels, lest we fall into the trap of believing that our rights are carved in stone, because we know they're not. And with the advent of the Republican-dominated Supreme Court, we must fiercely defend against conservatives' attempts to circumvent our rights under the guise of religious freedom during the administration for many years thereafter. Our civic duty did not end with the legalization of gay marriage. It opened a new path for us to follow that is no less viable. We need to remember that our responsibility to the gay, the lesbian, LGBTQ sisters and brothers who live in our more oppressive countries and who face death every day because of who they are. And in our country, our LGBTQ community must thrive so that we will have the power to assist others, or else we may wind up like them, and then who's going to help us? And one other aspect is that Quentin, in an oblique way, was a pioneer for trans rights. Although he didn't know it at the time, but for the first 80-plus years of his life, there was no hiding who he was, no refusing to be someone or something he was not. Taking a stand involves personal risks. But in the end, the benefits of the fight accrue to everyone, not just in the LGBTQ community.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with Trump's presidency?
Well, this is an opportunity for the LGBTQ teens to begin the process of tuning into their, quote, inner president and tuning out our alleged president and his affiliated bullies. That's a starter. They need to be reminded that Trump is what a bully looks like and when left unchecked. Trump did not define you, you define you. Knowing that is a pathway for teens discovering their own self-guidance and wisdom. Just like Quentin Crisp espoused, life is about finding out who you are and authentically expressing your truth in the world. I encourage teenagers to reach out to others and to understand that isolation and self-loathing are our greatest enemies, not Trump. Live your life with love, love in any form, including the LGBTQ love, is a threat to those who hate us. That's why some may continue to hate us for the unconditional love that we symbolize. And more importantly, teens need to realize that there is a great power in love. For teens who are bullied, they must seek help from others, even if they receive from across the country through Skype. There's a strength in numbers, and knowing that they are never truly alone, empowering, and will hopefully ensure their safety, which is a paramount concern. And ideally, if they can, they should find a qualified mentor that might help the process easier. We should volunteer our time to organizations to help teens and take the initiative in that respect. The great contribution that we can make is not to tell them that they are merely accepted and tolerated, but to enable them to profoundly feel and know in their hearts that they are loved and deeply cherished. It's incumbent upon preceding generations to be the wind beneath their wings. They will perpetuate the legacy of love.
How can people get information about The Last Word?
People can obtain information about The Last Word at Quentin's official website, Chris Peronto, the Quentin Crisp Archives, and the address is chrisperonto.org. And inquiries can be sent to me at Mr. Ward, M-R Ward, M-R-W-A-R-D, at chrisperonto.org. And there is a Facebook page and an Instagram account dedicated to Quentin Crisp with regular updates. And at the Facebook, I offer a daily quote, and on the weekends, a quote with a photograph. And also, The Last Word is at Amazon.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm working on several projects at this moment, and one is actually gathering together letters written by Quentin Crisp with the ultimate goal of publishing them as a collection for the public to read. Quentin was a prolific writer and letter writer, and there are thousands of them out there, so gathering them will be a great task. Also, my business partner, Victoria Lewandowski, and I have a company called Victoria Hollis Gallery, and we publish photography books. And our current release is Quentin Crisp and Black and White, photographs by Martin Fishman, and it's edited by me. Martin and Quentin were friends for nearly 10 years and visited one another regularly. And Martin was a straight guy, a social worker, but Quentin was his muse. And they visited one another so much that Martin must have photographed Quentin more than any photographer on the planet. There are thousands of images of Quentin by Martin. So Quentin Crisp and Black and White was released on the same date as The Last Word, and it contains quotes from The Last Word. It's meant to complement Quentin's final book. And one more thing is that there are plans to mount another Quentin Crisp exhibition, hopefully here in the city, and possibly a traveling show from Quentin's personal archives. It'll be an exhibit of personal items and photographs that he collected in his small room. And over the next 2 years, I hope to bring attention to Quentin, his life and works, and its philosophy of being, honestly and without apology.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Well, it would probably be, why has it taken so long for the book to be published? It's been 18 years since Quentin's passing. And the answer is that there are various reasons. Unfortunately, a combination of personal events over the years created a delay in transcribing the tapes and editing the material. A heavy responsibility fell upon me at Quentin's death, and that was to manage the legalities of his estate with estate lawyers, family, and outsiders, and so on. It was a daunting task while attempting to live my own life, and it involved much of my time and lasted for more than 3 years. It demanded quality attention. I found it very difficult, virtually impossible, to listen to the recordings Quentin made, that Quentin and I made for the Last Word manuscript. To hear his voice was too heartbreaking. I had lost a dear and close friend, a family member, and one with whom I'd shared nearly 14 years, privately and publicly. But now I had to revisit the hours of recording. Remembering him live was just too painful. Emotionally, this made it impossible to transcribe the recordings because tears would blind me. So while listening to the recordings, memory flashed back to the real moment in time, halting me to a standstill, making me unable to focus and move forward. The pain was just too great. It took me several years to overcome the inability to focus and concentrate, to listen to the tapes without breaking down into a cloud of sadness. But finally, though, with constant positive encouragement from my former partner, Charles Barron, and various friends, I transcribed hundreds of hours of audio Quentin and I prepared for The Last Word. And I edited the manuscript down to what I feel is one of his best books. It is his final word on and about his life, and it's filled with his wit and wisdom and his philosophy of life, and delivered by a man who's coming to the end of his life with full knowledge and willingly. The book is the perfect bookend to Quentin's story.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Yes, there is. There's one Quentin quote that I use daily, actually, particularly in moments of stress and any level of difficulty, and that is, remain calm and be brave. It's a simple yet powerful directive by which one can center oneself and refocus the moment to breathe and move forward in a positive manner. So, yes, remain calm and be brave is my favorite Quentin Crisp quote.